Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes after the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 7th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes, "This is the way a person should think of us, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. In this connection, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But it is a trivial matter to me if I am evaluated by you or by a day in human court. Why, I do not even evaluate myself. I do not, in fact, know of anything against myself, but I am not justified by this. Rather, the one who evaluates me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing ahead of time until the Lord comes. He will bring to light whatever is hidden in darkness and also reveal the intentions of hearts. Then there will be praise for each person from God. Brothers, I turn these things into a lesson, using myself and Apollos as examples. I did this for your benefit, so that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written. Then you will not be arrogant, favoring one person over the other. For who makes you so special? And what do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast, as if you had not received it? Oh, you are already filled. You have already become rich. You have begun to reign with us, without us. If only that were really true, so that we could reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, in the lowliest position, like men sentenced to death, because we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and people. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so strong. You are honored, but we are despised. At the present, we still hunger and thirst and lack proper clothing. We are treated roughly, and we have no settled place to live in. We toil, working with our own hands. When we are verbally abused, we bless. When we persecuted, we endured. When slandered, we speak kind words. We have been treated like the world's garbage, like everyone's trash, right up to the present time. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my dear children. Indeed, even if you would have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you would not have many fathers. I say this because in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I urge you, therefore, be imitators of me. That is why I have sent Timothy to you. He is my dearly loved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord is willing, and I will find out about the power, not the talk, of those who are arrogant. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and a spirit of gentleness?" This is the word of our God. Paul gets a little sarcastic here, and he needs to, because he's not there in person. And it needs to be written in such a way that you can't miss the point of what he's saying. He's heard probably a fairly comprehensive report from those in Chloe's household, as we heard at the very beginning of this book in chapter 1, that some from Chloe's household had made the trip over to Ephesus to speak with Paul about the problems in the church. And from the opening chapter especially, and even down here to chapter 4, we really get the impression that that church was on the verge of absolutely disintegrating, splintering, or exploding. And so Paul has to speak strongly. He has to take the lead. He has to shepherd those people, and he has to point out the sin so that it can be corrected. And he has to teach them. You see, Paul isn't just interested in behavior modification, like, knock it off, guys, let's do this instead. No, he has to teach them, because he wants them to grow up from being squabbling, you know, spiritually immature people, into people who can kind of run their own church, who take direction from their pastor, but who really have the answer before they ask the question. They're not there yet. And so Paul here gets a little sarcastic and, yeah, shames them a little bit, but he doesn't want to leave them in their shame. He doesn't want to just leave them wallowing in their guilt and wringing their hands and perhaps devolving into pointing the fingers. Again, where it used to be, like beating oneself on the chest. Hey, I follow Apollos. Oh, but I follow Paul, as though it were a competition. And he doesn't want to end up in the opposite ditch on the other side of the road through an overcorrection by finger pointing. Oh, but you were the one who started it. And you were the one who said that you followed Apollos. Oh, well, yeah, but you followed Peter. You're not guiltless in this either. You can kind of see how that might happen. And so he directs them back. And he says, friends, listen to me as though listening to a father who loves and cares for his children and who does what is right, even though it may be unpleasant, a father who speaks to them not with a purpose of simply coming down harshly, but in correcting and building them up. That's what he says. And so he says at the very beginning, this is the way a person ought to think of us as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. You notice, he provides a very stern defense of his apostolic ministry here, and a lot of what he says could also apply to the public ministry today, that as a pastor here at Resurrection, I'm not employed by the church. Not really. Yes, the church is the one who cuts my paycheck and covers my insurance, and thank God for them, because it's just such a wonderful group of people, and we June 3rd here, passed up 1 year here already. And in one sense, perhaps, well, sometimes from the IRS's perspective, you know, clergy taxes are an entirely different matter, but sometimes it looks to the IRS like I'm an employee of the church, but I'm not. I'm called here as a servant of Christ to serve and shepherd the people here. That's exactly the way Paul describes his role as well, servant of Christ, and a steward of God's mysteries, as somebody who is here to make known to the people and to teach the people so that they understand, they perceive, they enjoy, cherish, and use the mysteries of God. Remember what a mystery is from the other day, that a mystery of God or one of God's mysteries is something that cannot be perceived by human reason or with human power or human perception. The mystery of God, everything from the gospel and or the spiritual aspect of God's law or a spiritual reality of eternity and the afterlife or especially the sacraments and many others. But we are stewards of these mysteries, that we share them, that we share the use of them together, and that we use them together. And Paul says, you know what, I don't really care what you think of me. He doesn't say it quite like that, but that's exactly what he's saying. The task of a steward of God's mystery, is that they are found faithful. And Paul says, I don't care what you think of me. I'm being faithful with what God has entrusted to me as a servant of Christ. And so yesterday in 1 Corinthians 3, we talked about effectiveness and that we can't really judge a ministry based on effectiveness. And it might have even been in chapter 2. We can't judge a ministry based on effectiveness and numbers and numerical growth. Because, you know, when I came here, there had been a vacancy for roughly a year, almost a year. And during that time, you know, Pastor Nass had done a lot of very good work before he left. And then there's a vacancy pastor here. And then when I got here, it looks like I confirmed a half a dozen people all at once. But most of those people had been very well instructed and were ready to be confirmed. The vacancy pastor was just waiting for a permanent pastor. And so that's a kind of a good example of, you know, one sows, another plows, the other reaps, that I got to be here and as a steward of God's mystery to help these people stand before their fellow Christians and say, this is what I believe, and I am willing to stake my life and my eternity on this belief. But it doesn't mean that my ministry is more effective. But look at how Paul evaluates it now. He says, I'm a steward of God's mysteries and a servant of Christ for your sake. And God is the one who will evaluate my ministry. God is the one who sees what talents I have and don't have, what tasks I do and I don't do. And one might collapse in, might be excused for collapsing into a quivering puddle of jello on the floor at the thought of serving in the holy ministry in service to Christ and having Jesus be the one judging my work. And God forbid if there ever is a day when I don't approach my work here as a quivering mass of jello well, that's probably the day I need to find something else to do. But at the same time, this Jesus, in mystery of mysteries, has committed into my hands and on our hands together as a church. He's committed his mysteries to us, that we may use them, that we may rejoice in them, that we may be built up in them, and together in fellowship through them. That's a mystery in and of itself, and it just makes you say, thanks be to God. We'll cover the rest of chapter 4 here on Monday with our Bible reading. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for our study Saturday. I'm not quite sure which recording it's going to be, but it's always a good one and always something a little bit different. And anyway, you can check us out Sunday morning, 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Instagram @RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.